Praise God. Okay, good. All right. Well, how you doing?
Awesome.
Blessed. How else are you doing? That's a question.
Highly favored.
You know, instead of saying to everybody, we learned this in Relationship University, but instead of saying, hi, how are you? Say, hi, what's new with you? Yeah. Start off a new fresh track with people. Hi, what's new with you? Everybody said, hi, what's new with you?
Hi, what's new with you?
See? What's new? Oh, glad you asked. Now you're talking about something new. Praise God. Before I start the message here, you know, for the last 4 or 5 weeks, the Lord has been directing us to share some little healing bites. And Keith Moore's website, I've got 30 reasons why we can be sure that it's God's will to heal everyone of everything all the time. Everyone. Amen? The number one reason. And why is it important that we know God's will concerning healing? Why is that important to know that it's God's will for us to be healed? Say this with me. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have faith to be saved unless you know it's His will to be saved. Amen? You just can't do it. You can't work it up. You can't do it. So it's important. So we know that it's God's will that everybody be healed of everything all the time because God's word is medicine. Number two is a strong spirit. Proverbs 18:14 says a strong spirit of a man sustains him in his infirmity. Number three is original creation. On what day did God create cancer? He didn't. When he created after 6 days, he said, it was very good. There's nothing good about disease. Number four is heaven and earth as one. Jesus prayed, thy will, taught us to pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Why would he say that? Because he wants his will manifested in our life, and there is no sickness in heaven. Is there? Write that down, Matthew 6:10. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And number five is today, the origin of sickness. You know, Jesus attributed sickness to Satan. I got one yes and two nods. Jesus attributed all sickness to Satan. The woman who was bowed over like this, he said, Satan has bound her, lo, these 18 years. Or 13, whatever. It was a long time. You wouldn't want. And then she had been going to that synagogue for 18 years, and he hadn't done anything for him. And then he got mad at Jesus when he said, woman, you're loose from your infirmity. And she stood up straight. And then he got mad about it because it was on the Sabbath. You see how locked up people are in their religious thinking? We need to just see what the word says.
Do it.
The origin of sickness. How God, this is Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing all who were oppressed of the enemy, of the devil, for God was with him. All who were oppressed of who? The origin of sickness. You know, sickness and the word disease, I mean, you look at it. I mean, it's obvious. Dis-ease. The very definition is a lack of ease, which is the very opposite of what God is when you think of the word shalom, which is a perfectness, a completeness, a wholeness, where nothing is missing and nothing broken. That's what shalom is. It's the peace of God, and you can't be in His presence for more than 1 second without feeling that peace, sensing that peace. 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 Mm. I remember the morning after I accepted the Lord at 8 o'clock on July 20th, 1975, about 8 o'clock in the evening. The next morning I woke up and the peace of God was in my room. It was in my heart. I couldn't explain it. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know what it was. It was good. And it just filled me. The peace of God. You know, you may have something, but the presence of God is peace. It just is. And it drives out dis-ease or lack of ease. There's no lack in his presence. Disease is, by very definition, the absence of peace. And so we know that it's God's will for everybody to be healed of everything all the time, because the origin of sickness is not of God. And we have been redeemed from every sickness and disease is under the curse of the law. And we have been redeemed of the curse of the law. Amen? Amen. Amen. So there's five reasons right there. I've got 25 more to go. And you'll get those. Amen. So just before I get into the message today, I want you to understand that. Because God's word heals. God's word is medicine. So it will heal. So sometime in the message, maybe the Lord prompts you, gives you a little impression of the fact that you can move that back now. You can move that knee now. You can. It's yours. Healing belongs to us. Amen. Amen. So we're starting a new series. Can we have that graphic up, please, Barbara? We're starting a new series this morning, The Process of Manifestation. God's will is to manifest his glory in your life. God's will is to manifest his life in your mortal body. Thank you for that thunderous silence. It's God's will to manifest. You know, we turn to Philemon, if you would, and then let me explain to this first. While you're turning there, let's go into our weekly confession. Amen. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. It's all about him. It's all about him. So in Philemon, there's only one chapter. It's verse 6. Says this, that the communication of your faith may become effectual or effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. There are good things in you.
Yes.
There are a lot of good things in you. In fact, the Bible says that there is a vast, bottomless, limitless treasure trove on the inside of us. So, well, I don't feel that way. It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what God says, and it's there. Amen? What are some of those? I'll give you four things here. The Zoe life of God, eternal life, is on the inside of you. Amen. It's the substance that makes God, God. It is the life, nature, and pulse. It is everything that God is inside of you. Well, he must have just given me a little dab. No, it's him. He doesn't have any shortage. He doesn't have any measure of life. It is him. It's who he is. Zoe, life of God. It's the substance that makes God, God. It's his nature. It's his substance. And it's what defines us as children. Because of our identity with Christ, we can manifest it. Oh, it matters what you identify with. If you identify with death, sickness, sorrow, mourning, grief, whatever, you know, there are periods of that. But you know what? You need to look through, not just stay in, but through the valley of the shadow of death. You'll fear no evil. You can fear if you want to, but when you set your will, I will fear no evil because he's with me. His rod and his staff, he's with me. He is eternal. His life is in me. And he is one with us, with his own life. Number two is we have the fruit of the Spirit in our human spirit. You know, it capitalizes S in Galatians 5 when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And that's right, it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But now that you're born again, it is the fruit of the recreated human spirit. It is in there already. You don't have to pray for patience. Lord, give me patience. No, you yield to patience. You yield. You let patience have its perfect. You let do that. You have patience on the inside of you. And patience, really, that's it's long-suffering. And it's translated patience now, but it's also long-suffering. It's endurance. The same word is translated endurance in other places. So it's endurance. It's staying power. It's love, joy. Love never fails. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Peace that passes understanding, it calms storms. Patience, endurance. You know, faith and patience cause you to inherit the promises. Staying power. Once you have done the will of God, you have need of endurance so that you may obtain the promise. Powerful stuff. The fruit of the Spirit is already inside of you. How do you know that? Well, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Where does the fruit grow? In the branches. There's so much I could put on that, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just naming it. You have treasure in your earthen vessel. Amen. Everybody say that. I have treasure in my earthen vessel. And it's better treasure than this world or anything that has to do with this world can ever even hold a candle to. It is treasure on the inside. Oh, treasure on the inside. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7, says this, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. What treasure? The treasure. We have this treasure that the excellency of the power might be of God and not us. What is that treasure? Part of it is the ability to call light to shine out of darkness. Amen. See, this is why the devil hates the gospel. He hates the word of God so much. You know why? Because it is God's declaration of his utter and total and complete defeat. And I said this before, when Jesus rose from the dead, God released more power into the resurrection than he ever released even in the creation of the physical universe. He didn't need much power. All he needed to do is speak and say, light be. But when he raised Jesus from the dead, every demon, Satan himself, everybody was opposing him. You know what he did? He called the devil. He said, it's enough. It's enough! Devil wasn't expecting that. And here's the thing. That power that raised Jesus from the dead is not... The message of the resurrection is no less powerful than the actual event of the resurrection. Billy Graham used to notice this. He said, you know, when I preach that Jesus raised from the dead, all of a sudden there's a power that comes over the place and people want to come and get saved. When you preach the resurrection, the power of God for is manifest. The life-giving power is manifest. Thank God for Billy Graham. You know, we loved him, didn't we? He's not doing so bad right now. He's not doing bad at all. But the message of the resurrection is no less powerful than the actual event. Because it is one and the same. It is his word. Because the gospel is the power of God. Number four is all the blessings of God. That's some of the good things that are inside of you already. The blessings of God. You know, Jesus said, don't look here or there. The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. But the kingdom of God is within you. All the blessings, benefits, promises, and it's all within you. It's all on the inside. Don't look for it out here. It's not coming. God placed it in your authority and under your dominion. All of these benefits, blessings, and promises. And I could go on. But here's one of the realities I want to bring out. One of the realities of the new covenant, especially in the letters of Paul, in the letters of John and Peter too, is that all of the benefits, blessings, and promises of God, all of them, are past tense. They all have been done. It's all complete. Amen. We have, Ephesians 1, 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Are you in Christ?
Yes.
Is he in you?
Yes.
Well, if he's in you, all the benefits and blessings and promise, everything is, he is the promise of God. He is the hope of glory. He is everything that God is. And if he is in you, all the blessings of God have already been given to you, and they reside on the inside of you, and they are waiting to be manifest in your life. I'm convinced people are praying. People are not experiencing answer to prayer because they're praying for things that have already been given to them by God and placed under their dominion and authority. But they're still leaning on God. I mean, there comes a time when you were young in the Lord, when you were a baby and you didn't understand. Yes, God's grace would be more to the point. It would be God would give you more. But when you grow up, you know, God will spoon feed you. God will bottle you. He'll change your diaper. He'll do a lot of stuff for you when you're young in the Lord. But at a certain amount of time, you grow up, he expects more from you, and he places more responsibility in you, and he puts more things under your dominion and under your authority. Do you get that?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And as far as God's concerned, they are yours to enjoy.
Amen.
They are yours to put to work for you. Faith is your servant. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Faith is your servant. Maybe we'll get into that later in this series. But many don't understand that the spirit realm is actually much greater and more powerful and more real than the physical realm. This is a temporary zone here. And it was all created by spiritual power. What is that power? How is that power released? It was released in the Word of God. Think about that. Think about, what are words? Can you see them? Can you feel them? Can you smell them? Can you smell them? But when you speak them, what do? They enter into the physical, they move sound waves. They're carried in sound. Sound waves have no dominion over words. You ever notice that? Words have dominion over them. Jesus used words to calm the storm. The storm had to listen to him. That tree had to listen to him. You have the same word on the inside of you. And if there's any evidence that there is a spiritual realm, it's the simplicity of words. They come from the heart. They are spiritual. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. He said, John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Yes, amen. So, God has made this thing so obvious. Words, 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 words create. Words are not tangible. You can't feel them. They are an expression of the heart. And where faith, that's where faith is, it's of the heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, it says in Romans 10, right? When you speak words out of your heart, the faith of God that God placed in you unites with your words and it's released. And the devil can't stop it and he can't do anything about it.
Amen.
That's why he doesn't want you to get the word. If you get the word and you realize that this works, he's done. And he knows it. You know, Hebrews 11:3 says, we understand, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. God didn't make the universe out of nothing. He made it out of things that don't appear. He's talking about spiritual substance, spiritual matter. And then when he spoke, boom, the Holy Spirit took those words and started creating the Word and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit. That's how you were born again. The Word, which is the water and the Spirit of life. They united together to create the new creation that you are on the inside. You're a new creation. I say you're a new creation. You are the person you will always be. You say, well, I don't know about that. No, your mind doesn't understand your spirit and your attitudes and everything else. You have a flesh to deal with. You have a flesh to deal with. You are a spirit. And the only thing the Bible tells it, crucify your flesh. How can you do that? It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
I said, walk in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? Anybody help me out? Walking in the Spirit. Is it rolling your eyes back in Walmart and start prophesying to everybody? Oh, was it shaking? No, God gives you the spirit of self-control. Yeah. Walking in the Spirit is walking in the Word. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life, Jesus said. That's what walking in the Spirit is, walking in the Word. Say that. Walking in the Spirit is walking in the Word. When I walk in the Word, I walk in the Spirit. Take out your bulletins, if you would, and let's go over the confession in this. I wanted to start this way, but other things were, I had some traffic up here I wanted to clear up. Sometimes it jams up, like Bruce Almighty, you know. The prayers were jamming him up. So at the bottom of the back page, you'll see the daily confession. Let's read this together. Ready? Read. Father, I believe I have eyes to see, ears to hear, and spiritual understanding from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I believe in the conception process of the Word of God in my spirit, that I am giving birth to answers, solutions, healing, health, wisdom, and understanding, all through the process of manifestation from your Word. My life, my outlook, my expectancies, my shortcomings, and all my needs are all being transformed as I continue in your Word and give birth to miracles, provisions, and overcoming power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that lives big in me. In Jesus' name. It's good stuff. Read that 3 times a day and your life will change. Amen. Amen. Where are we here? The Word of God framed all things in the physical realm, and it became subject to the Word that created it. All things were created by the Word of God, therefore all things are subject to the Word of God. It's powerful. So to the point I'm making, that whatever God has established in the spiritual realm was designed with the ability to manifest in the earth. What does it say in John chapter 2 when Jesus was at the wedding? It says Jesus turned the water into wine, and in this way he manifested his glory. Is Jesus any different from you on a covenant basis? Yes, he is the Son of God. I mean, he's Jesus. But after what he did, everything that he gained through his sacrifice and his resurrection, he conferred over to you.
Amen.
You are now a joint heir with him.
Amen.
Not a sub-heir, not an over-heir, but a joint heir.
Amen.
With him. God calls you equal. In fact, Jesus will not identify with you as you. He only identifies you as him. That's what he did with Saul of Tarsus. He said, why are you persecuting who?
Me.
Me. He takes it personally. Your victories and your triumphs, your hurts and wounds, it's all, he takes it personally. And we all, by the way, we owe all of our triumphs and our victories to him. Amen. So with that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That term, heavenly places, is a New Testament term. Literally, it means the spirit realm. It doesn't mean heaven, the planet heaven. It means the spiritual realm. We have been blessed with, they are a reality in the spirit, all the blessings of God. They are a reality already in the spirit. And then he goes farther and lists some of those blessings, not all of them, but all of the blessings of God are already a reality in the spirit realm where we have been seated with Christ. So how do we get them over into the physical realm? How do those blessings get manifested in our life? And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you've never prayed in tongues, if you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, what I'm about to share with you, you will not even understand. This book is a code book. And unless you have the Spirit that wrote the code, you'll never get the code. You guys here this morning? Come on, man. You have an inside track to the code of life.
Praise God.
Whoa. You got to wake up. Wake up. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you light. So when people are saying, Lord, heal me, well, he might just say to you, by his stripes you were healed. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll make the word of God. He'll remind you of the word of God. He may say, by his stripes you were healed. What's that mean? That means it belongs to you. You come and take it. You come and put it to work in your life. Amen. You start confessing it day and night, meditating it day and night on the Word of God. Day and night, night and day, night and day. Let incense arise. Night and day, night and day. Let His Word ever continue out of your mouth. I am the healed. I am not. God doesn't deal with me as the sick. He deals with me as the healed. You are the healed. So the better way to pray is, find a provision in His Word that addresses your need. Pray it. Say, thank you, Lord, that this provision for me is a reality. And I take it. I receive it. It's mine. It belongs to me. I put it to work in my life now. Thank you, Lord. And then just start praising Him. Spend some time with Him. Let Him build that into your spirit. Let Him change your mindset with that Word. His Word and His blood are the same thing. They will change your mind. They will cleanse your mind of all the wrong thoughts and download the right thoughts. Amen. His Word. And then just start thanking Him. Every time that comes up in your mind, just say, thank you, Lord, that that's done. Thank you that that's on your desk. Thank you, Lord, that it is not my I have believed you and I enter into rest. That would be a better way to pray. Then you know that your prayers are being answered. And you can be sure that it's God's will to answer every single prayer. He was the one who said it. Pray. Ask and you shall receive. And that word ask means to call forth. It has several meanings, but one of those meanings is to call forth, and the Holy Spirit will help you understand what you call forth. Once you ask for something, just call it forth. Blessed be. So He may instruct you to look, He may broaden your thinking and your mind along those lines of that request or that need or anything that you find provision. And He may start illuminating that scripture for you to meet other needs in your life that you weren't even aware of. That's happened to me. Has that happened to you? It's happened to me where I wasn't even aware of this and I was thinking of another thing and all of a sudden I found, oh, this applies to this too. Wow, it's big. See, God knows your needs before you can even ask or even aware of. And it says this in verse 17 of Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened or flooded with light so that you can know the hope of your calling, so that you can know what are the riches of His glory, of the inheritance in the saints, so that you can know the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in heaven, but in this world too, in the nasty now and now, in the confusion and muck and mud of this world. I'll tell you something. You know, you think of the schools and the things that they're pushing in the schools, the things that they're pushing in retail stores and restaurants. They want to take over everything. You know what that, it's like they are, listen what they're doing. They are denying physical reality, much like Christian Science does. They deny that sickness exists. We don't deny that. We just have faith to overcome it, amen, to knock it out. Amen. We don't deny the reality of sickness or disease or anything. But what they're doing, and there's a stronger agenda to that, because here's what they're trying to do. It's getting near the rapture, folks.
Yes, it is.
And I'll tell you why. They are trying to destroy the conscience of children. If they can't get them to agree with them, that they don't know who they are, that they don't know what sex they are, that they can be manipulated like that, what they're doing is they're absolutely destroying the conscience. And you know what that brings us right to? That brings us back to the days of Noah. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the day of the Son of Man. I'm telling you something, we are on the precipice of, we're at the beginning of everything. We're near the rapture where we get taken out of this slop. Yeah, that's dancing. That's dancing words, man. That's shouting ground. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The body of Christ is a living, functioning organism in this world, living, rising up, connecting. The cells are coming together. The muscles are added up. These bones are getting filled up. And when it matures, it's just out of here. Oh, hallelujah. You got to be connected. You got to be connected.
Hallelujah.
Oh, this was not designed to live alone. You are a functioning organism in a body where you can give and receive, where you can give and receive. The blood flows in the heart and out of the heart. Breathe in, breathe out. You give and receive. It's as simple as breathing. It's as simple as speaking a word of encouragement to somebody. He who waters will himself be watered. This is so simple. So very, very simple. So turn to 1 John. And like I said, this is where the fork in the road comes. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you have never spoken in tongues, and you want to receive the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up here after the service. I'll lay hands on you, and you will speak in tongues. Or our altar ministers will. If it gets jammed up here, we'll... But the thing is, if you want the Holy Spirit, and, you know, a lot of people have been taught, you have all the Holy Spirit you have when you're... No, you have the Spirit of Christ when you're born again. Because if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. But the Holy Spirit is above and beyond that. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a baptism of power. It is a baptism to turn His ministers into fire. It's a baptism that will empower you beyond this peanut-sized natural acclimation. Think of this. I mean, I was in school. We were all brought up in a public school system, as far as I know. I went to private school for some years, but not all of it. And the thing is, they taught you how to violate your conscience. They just did. They taught you how to do that little by little by little by little until you started accepting stuff that you didn't accept before. And it was little by little so that you didn't notice it, but as you grew old, and what was happening is your conscience got crusted over and you got hardness in your heart. They taught you to violate your conscience. God put that conscience in there to be a guardrail to you, to be a guide and a light to shine. Why am I getting into that?
I don't even know why I'm getting into that.
But look, you've got to understand something, that just a little bit of water of the Holy Spirit, just a little bit of Word of God, just meditating, will start to soften that and break through that crust. And your heart can be soft again. And you can walk in the grace of God. Walk in the joy of the Lord. And it'll be like a new morning every morning to you. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to start dancing. So 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. This is good stuff. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life is manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show for unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, why? That your joy may be full. That which was from the beginning, before you were conceived in your mother's womb, before you cried when you were born, before you had a sniffle, before you had a pimple on your nose, before you had anybody say anything bad about you and hurt you emotionally, before you had anything wrong with you, there was that which was from the beginning. And that which was from the beginning came into you when you were born again. He which was from the beginning, he who was from the beginning, who we have what? Heard. Look at that word heard up there. Do you see a word right in the middle of that word?
Ear.
Ear. Do you remember when Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear? He wasn't talking to everybody he was talking to had these. The Holy Spirit very seldom talks in words. He talks with impressions. He enlightens you. He'll quicken a word from the scripture to you. Very seldom does he talk in words. He talks through impressions, intuitions, things that he, or a sudden burst of understanding. It's called illumination, sometimes revelation, where the scriptures just connect all of a sudden. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, to bring to your remembrance, to teach you and to guide you into all the truth. That which we have heard. I'm talking about the hearing, the ears of the soul. You know, your spirit man looks exactly like you do. Remember the rich man in hell? Sent Lazarus that he may dip his... You have fingers, you have a tongue, you have eyes, you can talk. Sound waves are in hell. You can talk and hear. All of those things. You are, and God said, look, you are a living person. And God said, I will walk in them. I will live in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Amen. The living God lives in you. He walks in you. And if you need strength, he strengthens you.
Amen.
I'm getting somewhere with this. That which we have heard. Yes. Now, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, what happens when we hear the word of God?
Faith comes.
Faith comes, yeah. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That which was from the beginning. Who we have heard. Now he's talking about, yeah, we heard him talk. No, we heard him talk. This is the spiritual side of it. What comes from hearing? Faith comes by hearing. Let's go back to 1 John. Faith comes by, so that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So you have faith. When Jesus came into your life, did it change the way you saw things? Did it change the way you saw yourself? Did it change the way you saw God?
Yes.
Did it change the way you saw the world?
Yes.
Did it change the way you think and saw the devil?
Yes.
Did it change the way you saw things? Yes. So faith comes by hearing, and now we have eyes to see. into the Spirit. The eyes of our understanding be flooded with light. That which we have heard and seen with our eyes, then it gets into something even more, which we have looked upon. What he's talking about is meditation there, focus. Forget all the other words. Just focus on his word. What is Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who sits in ways, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his light, in his word does he meditate day and night. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from out of your what? Mouth. Meditation, part of it is saying what the word says about you, declaring what the word says about you. Make your declaration. Meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do everything that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. We're talking about the prosperity of God here. You will make your way prosperous. So God has put prosperity in your power. And then you will have good success. You know, the word, you can have bad success. You know, there are people who are successful in the world, but their wife is sleeping with somebody else. That's not good success. Good success is having the peace of God operate in your entire life, in your family. In your family. Don't be afraid to believe God for your family members. If they've gone wayward, if they were... You have on the inside of you the one who knows everything about your kids. He knows the strings to pull. He knows the words to say. He knows the situations he can create to get them saved or to get them filled with the Holy Spirit or whatever the need is. That which we have heard, faith comes by hearing. So you see differently. That which we have seen with our eyes. You have new eyes to see with. That which you meditate on. What are you meditating on? What are you listening to? What are you speaking? Receive correction from the Scriptures. Don't receive condemnation. Receive correction from the Scriptures. Because his words are life unto all that find them, in health and medicine to all your flesh. So, and then what does it say? In our hands have handled. This is the process of manifestation. Hearing faith. Seeing things the way God sees them. Looking into it and meditating and build how God sees you into your heart so that you can have fellowship with him. And then you're handling. What are you handling? All the benefits, blessings, and promises of God. You're starting to handle that treasure that's on the inside of you. You're starting to handle the blessings of God that are being manifest in your life. You're starting to experience the kingdom of God. And it all starts with meditating, declaring, speaking words to frame your future, to frame your life, to frame it with the word of God and the kingdom of God and the resources of the kingdom of God. Jesus. Jesus came to give you something that's real. Not some doctrine. Isn't that exciting? We can talk about doctrine today. You turn on the TV and that little guy's like, yeah, you can get saved and be just like me. Really? No, they want to see something in your life. They want to know if this works. Does it work? Does it work for you? Will it work for me? That's all they want to know. This is what they want to see in you. Does this work in you? Will it work in me? Is it real? Then you can look at them and say, tell me. And give them your testimony. Your testimony is a prophecy for them. It all happens in words, the transfer of words, the blessing of God, the benefits of God, the healing, the power of God. All of the attributes of God are all transferred through words that the Holy Spirit can take and reveal to people. I'm telling you something. This is rich stuff. This is the process of manifestation that the word of God goes in your ears, conceives in your heart, comes out your mouth. It is God. Amen? Did you get something out of that today?
Yes.
Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You got to know the truth. The truth that you know is what makes you free. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return void. We thank you, Father, that you your voice is the voice of the good shepherd. And we hear your voice. We know your voice. You lead us and we follow. We thank you, Father, for the simplicity that is in Christ. Forgive us for complicating it. Forgive us for getting fouled up in our minds. Lord, we just put all that, and we thank you that we are washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and that this is a new day, that the future is ours to frame with the very words of our mouth. Help us in those quiet times to give us understanding. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know our hope and our inheritance and the power that is always available to us. Thank you, Father. And I don't like to close any service without giving people a chance to meet my friend, to fall in love with the Savior who valued me when I was valueless. So I'm going to ask you to pray this simple prayer with me. Let's all say this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I receive the forgiveness of my sins through the blood of Jesus. I confess with my mouth that he is my Lord from this moment forward and forever. I have a living, breathing, speaking, active Savior living in me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to come up here after, and I want to talk to you. We have some material to give to you. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up and receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The rest of you, you are dismissed.